실전 모의고사 4회
18. Dear Kevin, when you came to me last year asking for a loan to help you get by while you looked for work, I thought that this time you were sincere in trying to settle down. But 6 months later, I see no effort being made to use the help your family has offered. You still have not found a steady job, and you have done absolutely nothing to even attempt to repay the loan. Your sister Laura constantly worries about you, and your mother and father at this stage of their lives should not be subjected to such constant stress. Your family loves and cares for you, but you are ultimately responsible for yourself. We will continue to offer as much emotional support as we can, but we cannot continue to enable you to live an irresponsible lifestyle. We are all here for you, but first, you have to help yourself. Uncle John.
19. Melissa didn't know how much longer she could hold her breath. She had the strength, perhaps, for one more try. As she reached for the door, she floated out the driver's side window. Its glass had been shattered from the impact. She felt her leg rub the rim of the steering wheel as she slipped past. As she exited, Melissa pushed off the SUV and headed towards the light. She lurched out of the slate-gray water, gasping for breath, but she was not out of danger yet. Rain pelted her face. Wind buffeted the river, and in the choppy waves, she swallowed some of the dirty water. Breathe, cough, spit. Breathe, cough, spit. Her legs were numb, heavy. Still wearing her shoes, sweater, and jeans, she found it hard to tread water.
20. Start small and test, test, test. You want to be sure that the idea really works before committing significant resources to it. If your tests show that the idea is not as good as you thought, then you haven't lost much. If, on the other hand, your test indicates that you have a winner, you can roll it out in a big way. One time at the law firm, I wanted to start another new practice area. I began by simply sending a letter to old clients announcing the new practice, just to see what the reaction would be. That one $100 mailing ended up generating six-figure revenues. Once I saw that the new profit center had real potential, we jumped into it in a big way, with advertising, training, and so on. But it started with a simple and inexpensive mailing to test the waters.
21. In their analysis of the relationship between democracy and environmental policy outcomes, Gallagher and Thacker examined the time lag effect. They developed the notion of democracy stock, which refers to the accumulation and evolution of democratic institutions over time. Gallagher and Thacker then apply this measure to time series data on changes in sulfur and carbon dioxide emissions. Their findings suggest that countries with longer histories of strong democracy have seen higher reductions in pollution over time. Or, put another way, their findings offer evidence that while democracy does bring environmental benefits, it only does so in the long run. The delayed effect of democracy on environmental policy may help explain the contradictory results obtained from attempts to model how levels of environmental damage change at different stages of development.
22. One of the traits of an art therapist that can appeal to clients is his or her level of artistic skill. Clients need to see something of value in the art therapist, some quality or virtue they may wish to emulate. In a sense, an art therapist's artistic skill is one of the therapeutic hooks that can help pull the client into the therapeutic alliance. While I believe it is important that art therapists have a sense of themselves as proficient artists, this does not mean that our clients need to regard themselves in that way. In my experience, the majority of clients with whom I have worked would not have described themselves as artists. But this makes mastery all the more important for art therapists because one of the functions we can provide clients is that of a role model. Effective art therapists serve as artistic role models, and as such, they must demonstrate a willingness to take both personal and creative risks in order to promote self-expression and self-investigation in clients.
It has been said that the child has no sense of proportion, that he draws a man taller than the tree in front of him, that the man's head is twice the size of his body. These statements are obviously correct from our adult sense of objective proportions, but if we try to see the world through the child's eyes, we can interpret the meaning of the incorrect proportions. The child's frame of reference is not the same as ours. The meaning is clear if we bear in mind that the child does not copy what he sees. His are effective proportions. The drawings are expressions of an inner realism. The relationship between object and expression is not a direct one as in the adult. Once we begin to understand the language of the child's graphic expression, we are impressed by how much the child is telling about himself through his drawings, and how worthy they are of our attention, and how revealing they may be of the child's attitudes, feelings, and intellect. The child emphasizes what is important to him and omits or contracts what he considers minor or undesirable.
24. A poll of 10 countries, most of them in the developing world, was taken to find out whether people were willing to bear higher prices for energy and other goods as part of taking steps to fight climate change. More than half the people in 9 of these 10 countries want their governments to take such steps, even if it entails costs. Majorities in 5 countries, Japan, Mexico, Iran, China, Vietnam, say they are willing to pay 1% of their country's per capita GDP. In addition, majorities in an additional 4 countries are willing to pay between 0.5% and 1%. Among the 10 countries, China has the highest percent of people who showed their willingness to support their government's measures to fight global climate change. Russia is the only country where more than half of its people are unwilling to bear higher prices for climate change.
25. As a young man, Denis Diderot chose to study law. Soon, his wide interests in mathematics, philosophy, and literature led him to become a teacher and translator. In 1745, Diderot was put in charge of producing a French encyclopedia. Gathering a brilliant team of scholars around him, Diderot used this opportunity to support the use of reason rather than religion as the best way of understanding and improving society. In 1750, he was briefly sent to prison for these attacks upon religious beliefs. The first volume of his encyclopedia appeared in 1751, and the last came out in 1772. The ideas developed within it did much to prepare its readers for the massive reaction against old ideas and practices that developed during the French Revolution, 5 years after his death.
26. 15th Annual Family Fishing Derby. Saturday, September 17th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Brownlow's Landing Gull Lake. Fishing weekend. No license required. Price, $20 per adult, 16 and older, $10 per child, 15 and younger. Registration, 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. at the measuring station. Advanced registration can be done at the following locations: Sports Den, Eastview IGA. Free baits for the first 500 registrants. Prizes for longest fish in all 3 eligible species, perch, pike, and whitefish, all ages. Longest yellow perch, children 15 and under. Best fishing outfit. Rain or shine, the event will take place. For more information, www.kinsmenderby.org, 675-3354-8769.
27. Moonlight Theaters Summer Camp 2019. Camp A, July 15th to 19th. Camp B, July 22nd to 26th. Camp Ages, 7 to 18 years old. Camp Hours, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Choose your week. Moonlight Theater brings you 2 available weeks of fun, immersive instruction in singing, dancing, acting, and more. Camp format is the same for both weeks, with some changes to performance material for the camp showcase. Registration information. Camp A, $195 if registered by July 1st, $225 from July 2nd to July 12th. Camp B, $195 if registered by July 8th, $225 from July 9th to July 19th. Registration includes 5 camp instructional days per week, camp t-shirt, 1 ticket to Moonlight Theater's fall production of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. Camp Exhibition Showcase. Camp A, July 18th at 6 p.m. Camp B, July 25th at 6 p.m. Showcase tickets are $10 each. Kids 6 and under are free. For more information, email us at s-camp@mtheater.com.
Under the influence of the ideas of René Descartes, self-awareness is commonly viewed as a human characteristic not present in animals because they do not have language. Language is reasonably viewed as a means by which people present, maintain, and reflect upon ideas, including ideas about themselves and their relations with others. And thus, it is not surprising that animals have been denied self-awareness, and sometimes any sort of awareness at all. Consequently, ethical theorists such as Immanuel Kant viewed animals as without self-consciousness, and thereby declared them to be inherently unworthy of moral concern. With evolutionary theory came the idea that humans and animals share a common heritage, and the conception of self-consciousness changed from being an all-or-nothing phenomenon to having various meanings, some of which could be had without language.
Bees and wasps are the most similar in appearance, and they are the most easily confused. It is not uncommon to hear complaints about the bee that landed on somebody's hamburger at a recent family picnic. Hikers complain about the horrible buzzing creatures that swarmed from a log they used as a backrest halfway up the trail. In both cases, the annoying insect was probably not a bee, but a wasp. Wasps and bees are close relatives, sharing in common a grandmother 100 million greats ago. In some instances, even trained scientists have some difficulty distinguishing them. The bee called Neolara, for example, was thought to be a wasp by the first researchers to see it. It didn't help that the bee was dead and stuck to a pin, because the most telling differences between bees and wasps are their behaviors.
30. After a successful concert at the famous Rotunda in the Ranelagh Gardens, many musicians in London were jealous of Wolfgang Mozart. Daines Barrington, a well-known lawyer, historian, and musician, decided to prove that Mozart must be older than he looked. He checked Mozart's birth certificate and subjected the boy to all sorts of difficult tests. When comparing the results with those of the young Handel, he noted that Mozart was the greater talent of the two. He concluded that Mozart not only looked very childish, but also acted like a child of his age in matters not connected with music. A case in point was, while Mozart was playing for Barrington, his favorite cat entered the room. Mozart immediately stopped making music, rushed to his cat, and played with it. He would sometimes get up and run around the room with a stick between his legs, pretending to be riding a horse.
31. During a period in 2000, when the NASDAQ dropped 60%, fully 99% of brokerage analysts' client recommendations remained strong buy, buy, or hold. What accounts for this discrepancy between what was happening and what was recommended? The answer may lie in a system where a portion of analysts' pay is based on brokerage firm revenues. Some firms even tie analysts' compensation to the amount of business the analysts bring in from clients. But to assume that during this NASDAQ freefall, all brokerage house analysts were consciously corrupt, lying to their clients to exploit this incentive system, defies common sense. Surely there were some bad apples. But it is much more likely that most of these analysts believed their recommendations were sound and gave huge advantages to their clients. What many didn't appreciate was that the built-in conflict of interest in their compensation incentives made it impossible for them to see the implicit bias in their own flawed recommendations.
The leaders or subordinates who drive everyone crazy and who get no trust from their coworkers are the ones who are constantly changing their minds. Take the manager who walks into your office and says, "We're going to go to Chicago for our annual meeting." So you make a plan to go to Chicago. 2 weeks later, he walks back in and says, "Well, I've decided it would be better if we went to Atlanta." So you grumble, but you think, well, okay, everyone has the right to change their mind once in a while, and you cancel all the Chicago arrangements and you make new arrangements for Atlanta. Just about the time you hang up the phone with the last person you need to talk to in Atlanta, the boss waltzes back in and says, "You know, I've been thinking. Detroit is a much better place." Obviously, by this time, you're completely fed up and demotivated. The next time your boss asks you to do something, you're probably going to wait a while to get started because you don't trust him to make and stick to a plan.
33. Patricia Stokes, a painter and psychologist at Columbia University, studied how influential artists like Claude Monet, William Motherwell, and Piet Mondrian produce their groundbreaking work. She argues that truly original artists work by imposing constraints on themselves in terms of the subjects they paint, materials they use, and artists they draw upon for inspiration. Monet, for example, purposefully limited his subjects, repeatedly painting pictures, by the dozens, of subjects like grain stacks and water lilies. This allowed him to focus on exploring how light changes, and his exploration helped spark a transition in the art world from representation to impressionism, setting the stage for 20th century artists such as Picasso. By constraining infinite possibilities, simple rules allow creativity to flourish, less from thinking outside the box and more from deciding how to draw the box in the first place.
34. Data on national wealth demonstrate that the claim that more people mean more wealth is the opposite of correct. The 10 countries with the most people are, in descending order of population, China, India, the U.S., Indonesia, Brazil, Pakistan, Russia, Japan, Bangladesh, and Nigeria. The 10 countries with the highest affluence are, in descending order, Luxembourg, Norway, the U.S., Switzerland, Denmark, Iceland, Austria, Canada, Ireland, and the Netherlands. The only country on both lists is the U.S. Actually, the countries with large populations are disproportionately poor. 8 of the 10 have per capita GDP under $8,000, and 5 of them under $3,000. The affluent countries have disproportionately fewer people. 7 of the 10 have populations below 9 million, and 2 of them under 500,000. Thus, as an empirical fact, more people and a higher population growth rate mean more poverty, not more wealth.
35. To reduce loneliness, it is better to have one wise friend than many distant ones. Socrates believed that there is no possession more valuable than a good and faithful friend. Aristotle believed that good friends are superior to any material possessions one might have. He also believed that it takes time and effort to build true friendships, where you share private thoughts and reveal more of yourself. Keep your most valuable secrets deep inside your heart, as when you tell your secret to someone else, it's not a secret anymore. Through authentic dialogue and activity with others, we become more of ourselves. We discover new sides of ourselves, and, not surprisingly, we also are able to find new sides of others. A true friend has the courage to say what needs to be said, even if not always what we may want to hear, and to help us grow into our full selves and reach our highest potential.
One of the biggest errors that people make in trying to succeed in life is to take on way too many responsibilities. This eventually leads to frustration. Life is a huge buffet of enticing platters of possibilities, but putting too much on your plate just leads to indigestion. A. In fact, the U.S. military services use the rule of three as a general principle. Through years of trial and error, they found that most people can only handle three things at once. B. Just like a real buffet, in life you can do it all, just not at the same time. One approach is to pick three priorities at any one time, knowing that these will change as your life changes. This concept is not new. C. As a result, the entire military system is designed to reflect this rule. A squad leader takes charge of three fire team leaders. A platoon leader is in charge of three squad leaders, and each company consists of three platoons.
In competitive team sports, a player might flourish with one team but languish with another. The NFL salary cap reveals this phenomenon. When a football team starts winning, all of the individual players look better and thus become more valuable on the open market. A. Yet after they are traded away, those newly expensive players often don't look as good as they did when they were on the championship team. The fact that they looked good wasn't due completely to their own ability. B. Rather, it was their membership in the team that made them look good, and away from that winning team, their performance level is not the same. In group creativity, value or ability is not a property of individuals. It is a property of individuals in groups. C. As a result, the total value of the team, as reflected in the sum of the individual salaries, increases and climbs above the salary cap limit. The team must then trade individual members in exchange for relative unknowns who are cheaper.
Socrates lived in ancient Greece from 469 to 399 BC. He was originally a stonemason who, according to legend, was told by the Oracle of Delphi that he was the wisest man alive. Finding this difficult to believe, he set off to find someone wiser than himself. Socrates engaged several of the statesmen and poets of Athens in dialogues about the ultimate meaning of things. His tactic was to corner an individual and bombard him with questions about what he was doing, why he was doing it, and its ultimate meaning. In almost all of these dialogues, he showed the individual how ignorant he was concerning these questions. This ruthless offense earned Socrates the reputation of being a fairly annoying individual, and he became known as the gadfly of Athens. Eventually, he became so irritating that the citizens of Athens put him on trial on the trumped-up charges of not honoring the guards and of corrupting the youth.
39. I have not found it difficult to discover a consensus among scientists about what constitutes core knowledge in the different fields of science. Far more difficult is the choice of a limited set of terms for conveying that core knowledge to non-specialists. Some basic terms will be familiar, others will seem technical. But yesterday's technical term is tomorrow's parlance. Moreover, some essential scientific knowledge is tied to ordinary terms. We already know many of the words of science, but lack the appropriate concepts to go with them. For example, we know the words sun and star, but literate people do not universally know that the sun is a star. All literate people know the word energy, but not all know that it is conserved and that its forms are interchangeable. A number of highly familiar words are listed, but they stand for scientific concepts that are less familiar than they should be.
Professor Joseph Forgas had a man and woman drive around Germany, France, Spain, and Italy in a gray car carrying a highly salient Australian insignia. They tried to be at the front of traffic when the traffic lights turned red. As the lights turned green, much to the annoyance of the drivers behind them, they simply sat in the car. The Italians proved the most impatient, honking their horns on average after about 5 seconds. Next were the Spanish at about the 6-second mark. The French came in at about 7 seconds, and the Germans at about 7.5 seconds. In the second stage of the study, the team swapped the Australian insignia for a German one and repeated the procedure. This time, the Italians, Spanish, and French all honked their horns much quicker, with the Italians holding off for just 3 seconds. In Germany, however, the time before horn honking was extended to almost 8 seconds. Something as simple as an insignia had triggered feelings of brotherhood and familiarity and had a significant impact on the time before drivers started to hit their horns. In an experiment that tested the patience of drivers in 4 European countries, a sign that signified similarities had a significant impact on the driver's behavior.
In a well-known study conducted by Alice Eisen, a Cornell University psychologist, doctors were brought into the lab and presented with a familiar task. An assistant described a few unambiguous ailments that were plaguing him, and, based on that information, the doctors were asked to reach a diagnosis. Every time the assistant described a new symptom, the doctors had to give their diagnosis based on what they had heard up to that point. Half of the doctors had received a small gift, such as a notepad, a nail clipper, or a small bag of hard candies, before the experiment started, and the other half did not. By giving the doctors this small, unexpected gift, the experimenter raised the doctor's level of happiness. In this way, she could compare the behavior of doctors who felt happy and those who were in a neutral emotional state, i.e., those who had not received the gift. As expected, the unexpected gift caught the recipients by surprise and boosted their happiness. In fact, it lifted their dopamine levels, which stimulate the brain to process information. As a result, it also increased their creativity. Compared with doctors who did not receive the small gift, those who did thought more creatively and reached the correct diagnosis in half as many steps. Clearly, the doctors did not realize that the unexpected gift had an impact on their thinking. Similar to the results of the studies, where expressions of gratitude motivated participants to give extra help to a student in need, a triggered emotion had a positive impact on doctors' behavior. Emotions sometimes lead to good outcomes, including happy diversions from our initial plans. On the eve of my wedding day, one worry nagged me. Steve and I came from different backgrounds. I was a city girl from Scottsdale, Arizona. He was born in Oklahoma and grew up in Kansas. My dad was a trucker, and his was a minister. but the boy who bothered me in freshman biology class quickly won my heart. He proposed during our senior year, and we decided to marry at the college church 2 days after graduation. My parents and Steve's would drive in to celebrate our wedding. Living so far from one another, our parents had never met until the wedding rehearsal. Would they get along? B. When we finally pulled up at his parents' house, I was relieved to see our dads happily walking together in the yard. "We figured out how we know each other," Steve's dad said. 20 years ago, Dad was driving a long haul when a snowstorm forced him to detour through Oklahoma. It was Sunday morning, so I pulled my big rig over and stopped at a church to attend a service, Dad said. Afterward, the minister and his wife invited me home for a meal. That was us, Steve's dad said. C. Later, I told Mom how amazed I was by Dad and Steve's fateful meeting all those years before. There's more, Mom said. Your dad met a lot of people on his routes, but I definitely remember him talking about that couple. He was so impressed by them. He thought it was funny our kids were about the same age. And he told me one more thing. What was that? I asked. He said he'd be proud if one of our kids married into a family like theirs. D. At the rehearsal dinner, I saw Steve's parents looking curiously at my dad. Don't worry, Lana. They just think he looks familiar, Steve said, trying to put me at ease. I hope that's a good thing. The ceremony and reception went beautifully, and afterward we headed to Steve's parents' house for a family dinner. I'm sure our parents are getting on fine, he told me. But the butterflies in my stomach wouldn't stop.